This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Anne Twist. I'm very happy now to welcome Marissa Noel, who is an author of teenage and young adult fiction. It's great to have you on the show, Marissa.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. So could you tell us a little bit about you? Obviously, we're going to talk about your books and sure. your sort of current work, but about your background, what you were doing before you were an author. I know there was a psychology degree. And
that's right. I did do a psychology degree. It took me a while to complete it. I had my own issues with mental health and lost a couple of friends while at university. So completing that degree was kind of an achievement in itself. And then after that, I ended up in the supply chain world for IT companies doing logistics and demand planning, which sounds as boring as it, yeah, as it is, really.
It's as boring as it sounds.
Yes, boring as it sounds.
I highlighted that on my notes. Inventory management, demand planning and risk assessment for IT companies. And I did think some people might find that really interesting, but I would imagine that you, as an author of sort of science fiction, probably that wasn't your ideal job.
I do have a very logical, mathematical brain, so I do like a spreadsheet. And I do actually plot my novels out on a spreadsheet. So there's a parallel there.
Okay.
But yeah, it is a bit of a departure from what I used to do. So, yeah.
And so how long have you been writing?
I have been writing probably over 15 years in one form or another.
Okay.
But reading forever, as long as I can remember.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So throughout your life of reading, did you kind of gravitate towards the kind of genre that you're now writing about, or all sorts? Or?
Yes, I would say in a nutshell, I loved anything horror and supernatural. I grew up in Nancy Drew, just devoured anything mystery and problem solving and something slightly untoward. And then went right from her to Stephen King and Dean Koontz and authors like that that had more of a supernatural or psychological element to them. So I've always read around that genre, and I think really that's probably why I write in it too. It's what's fascinated me the most.
But am I right in thinking your books are kind of targeted at sort of teenagers, young adults?
They are targeted at young adults, although they do also appeal to adults. I think the YA category is really about a marketing category and where to place your book on a bookshelf. But
and what's middle you sort of
middle grade?
What's middle grade? What's that
middle
mean?
Grade would be between 8 and 12.
Oh,
typically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was a terminology that meant something else. Whether it,
no.
it related
so you'd
to
be
an
thinking
age.
Maybe your beginnings of Harry Potter, your Roald Dahl, those kinds of books. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had a good look at your website last night, and I was looking at your free chapters. And there was one that I read, and I thought, I want to read this. Death Row Reality.
Is
that a chapter from one of your books, your three books? Or you
It's not
two
out. Years? It's not published.
Oh,
that's
okay.
actually an adult book.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, that was my thinking, actually, because I loved it.
That's my one adult book that I've got out there. And yes, it's something that I'd like to get out into the world at
so
some
it's
point.
Not out there yet?
It's not out there yet.
Okay. So it's
a little
taster.
Teaser, yeah.
God, it's definitely got... Yeah, I was thinking, you know, how do I read the rest of this?
Yeah.
So you're going to do adult fiction as well as...
I will probably, yes. I think with me, most of my books will come out in the young adult area.
Yeah.
Really, because it's just the voice that comes into my head. But with that particular book, and I've got a couple more, are definitely more adult orientated. So I would like to try and get those out
well,
as well.
I'm going to put in a special quest. Death Row Reality, please. So let's have a look at the books that you've written so far. So I think The Shadow Keepers, when did that come out?
That came out in August,
last year.
Yes.
Okay. So tell us about The Shadow Keepers.
The Shadow Keepers is a horror with a local setting to here. So it takes Brookwood Hospital.
Is that a real place? I was going to ask you that.
It was a real place.
Oh, okay.
It's not anymore. Now it's been converted into luxury apartments. And I used to live behind them for a number of years. And some of the structure is still there. And when the residents started moving in, they had some very interesting stories about ghostly presences and things like that. And I thought, oh, this is great place to set a novel. And I was right there. So the inspiration was fabulous. And as it was an asylum, I thought, great, let's just pretend it still exists.
Okay.
So the novel is about a girl who sees shadowy monsters in mirrors. And obviously no one believes her. And she gets committed to the hospital to face her fears. And because she sees these monsters, she has developed anxiety and OCD, and she doesn't know how to cope, but she knows that they're real. So it's up to her to prove that before they come out of the mirrors and into the human world.
And so where would people find your book? Is it on the bookshelf in a bookshop, or is it downloadable? Yeah. Or
it is downloadable, and they are on Amazon, or you can order them from the Waterstones website.
Oh, okay.
Or a website called Book Depository, which is worldwide. You won't find them in the shops because they come through print on demand, but you can order them from any shop.
They're out there. And so that was released in August.
That was right.
And how long did that take to write?
That one, you know, it doesn't take me long to write a first draft of a book. I would say I can do it between 4 and 6 weeks if I've plotted it out and I'm done. And most of my writing friends curse me quite a lot for that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because we've had authors before and they'll talk about months, if not years, to put a book together.
I don't struggle with that. Okay. I think it's the editing process that takes longer.
Yeah.
Because you need time to reflect between each time that you look at a book, and then it will feel fresher and you can see errors, or you can see, wait, that character's not quite right, or that wouldn't really happen. And those things pop out at you a bit more when you've given it time to rest.
So you do self-editing, and then is there someone else who will edit it, or are you just doing
your own? Depends, really, because now that I have an agent again, I will tend to just send it to her when I've done my self-editing, and she will go through it and she will make suggestions.
Yeah.
And she also has another reader who will do a report on it for me. Or I will send it to other author friends who will critique it and, you know, give me the criticism to make it better, or tell me what they think isn't working.
And do you ever test it on the kind of target audience?
I have a few teenagers in my life who help me with that, and they can say whether they love, hate, or a particular character. It doesn't usually go into too much depth, but they can give you a general feeling if you're on the right lines.
Yeah, just different perspective.
Exactly.
And when you're writing the novel, I mean, you said you put it together in 4 to 6 weeks, which is amazing. How much research do you have to sort of get into? And also, do you base your characters on people you know, or are they sort of just invented?
Depends on the novel. I think with The Shadow Keepers, for instance, you know, a lot of that experience was based on my own problems with anxiety and OCD. And so, you know, and I did do more research to make sure that I was up to date on treatment methods and how mental health is handled in hospitals today. So to make sure that was authentic. For The Unjusteds, loads, because it's all about genetics.
That sounds amazing, actually. When did that come out? In November?
That came out November.
You finished one book, released it in August, and then we've got another one out in November.
That's right. Yeah, two different publishers.
You're churning them out like that.
So I was able to do that.
Yeah.
My brother's a genetic scientist, so it was really helpful.
Ah, okay.
I could run things by him.
Yeah.
And I did do biology at A-level, but I stopped there. So I had a basic idea of the possibilities.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make it as authentic as possible. Sure. I wanted someone to pick up the book and say, actually, that could happen, or we could be able to do that.
Yeah.
And actually, we already are starting to be able to do some of these things.
So let's tell people. I mean, the hero is called Silver Melody, which I love. So tell us about Silver Melody and her world.
Silver lives in a world where 80% of the people have had some sort of genetic enhancement, and it might be as simple as you can buy a pill called a nanite from the pharmacy to have permanent white teeth or tan or high metabolism, or you might have wings and be able to fly or super speed or super intelligence. And basically the president of the country thinks that they need to strengthen the country and demands that all of those people left who haven't taken one of these enhancements has to take one. So Silver, who is an unadjusted and wants to stay that way, flees the city with her father.
And it's her father who has created this nanite in the first place.
That's right. He actually created the nanite, was created primarily for soldiers who had been in war and lost limbs, stepping on mines, that kind of thing, and they can regenerate a limb through their own DNA, and it evolved from that. So he created it with the best of intentions, and then it spiraled into something else. So they flee the city, and it's up to them, really, to figure out how they're going to deal with this President Bear and stop this from happening.
Amazing. Yeah. Gosh, what an imagination you've got.
Thank you.
So again, you wrote that in sort of 4 to 6 weeks?
That was one of the first books I actually ever wrote, and I remember writing that when I was pregnant with one of my children, and in the evenings, and I would just get it out.
Oh, okay. So you didn't finish one in, or release one in August, and then release this one in November, having written it in a couple of months.
No, I've got about 20 novels sitting on my computer, all written. So it's that kind of process. I'll go back to things and I'll re-edit and I'll resubmit.
Oh, okay. I'm ready for that one to be out there now. Yeah. And that one, obviously, it's sitting on the table in front of us.
Yes.
So that is out there in the bookshops as a book.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, you can get it as an ebook, a paper book, or a hard copy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And good reaction so far?
Yes. At the moment, it's got an average of 4.5 stars on Amazon and Goodreads.
Great.
So it looks like it's going well. This is the first of a trilogy as well, and we're getting some of the reviewers coming back and wanting the next books already, so that's exciting me.
That is really good. Yes. That's excellent. Yeah. And how do you promote it? I mean, you know, you go into a bookshop, there are thousands of books. How do you get to be the one that people pick
yeah,
up?
That's a good question.
I mean, the cover's amazing. I mean, you know, I'm always drawn to a cover.
Yes.
And I read the bit on the blurb on the back, and it's either back on the shelf or I buy it. But, you know,
I think, I mean, they say don't judge a book by its cover, but really, in reality, most people do, don't they?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it does help. I'm on social media quite a lot.
Are you?
Twitter's really my main platform, and I connect with the writing community there, which are lovely and supportive. And we all support each other, and we scream about each other's successes and books, and it helps spread the word, and it trickles out there. You would have a blog tour or get bloggers to review in advance. So they generate some hype before the book's actually released, and then people are wanting to buy the book and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you can get into festivals or schools.
I was going to say, what about schools?
Schools, so you can go and you can talk to them about being an author or a creative writing workshop and then bring your books along to sell. Then that's a really great way of raising awareness and getting
it
out there.
Okay, so you're not going into... Yeah. to promote your book as such, but you're going in to do something else. Yeah, which
they like, most schools like you to have something to offer them,
yeah,
you know, an experience, because it is something that they pay for generally.
Okay.
So you go and you can offer an expertise for those kids, and hopefully excite them about being an author or such.
I know you do mentoring as well, don't you?
I do.
How does that work?
Well, a friend of mine, Stuart White, set up a mentoring program and asked me to be one of the mentors for it, and it's a lovely community. It started out with a free mentoring program, and we still do it every summer, where aspiring writers can apply to us. And we pick which book we want to work on. And over 4 months, we then present those books at an agent showcase. And many of those writers this year and last year have actually gone on to pick up agents and now had publishing deals as well. So it's
amazing.
Been really successful.
Yeah.
And we also do, there are also paid parts of the program where I have a couple of mentees who have a monthly fee, and we go through work every month and we work on what they want to work on. And I give them advice on where I think, you know, direction they need to be heading in, or whatever they may need.
Yeah.
One of them needs a lot of cheerleading and confidence building. The other one needs more technical look at their craft and their actual writing.
Right.
So whatever they need, we're here for that. And it's lovely to be part. It's lovely to see an author grow and that you can help with that.
And did you do any sort of courses yourself, or did you?
I did.
Or you just...
You know, I didn't come from an English or journalism world where a lot of authors do. So it did kind of take me by surprise. And I realised that I was writing in a bit of a bubble, and I actually needed to further my knowledge and what I was doing. And I went off. The first course I did was the Curtis Brown Creative course, run by Curtis Brown, who are one of the top agencies in London. And they did a really good course, a 3-month thing, writing for children with a tutor who would feedback on your work every week. And we would give peer feedback as well. And I think that's one of the quickest and best ways to learn, because you can spot weaknesses in other people's writing that you sometimes don't see in your own.
Yeah.
And then you start to recognize it.
Yeah.
So that was a really good course. And then I've done, there's another organization called Writers HQ who are brilliant. And they're kind of like the poor man's equivalent of the Curtis Brown courses, but they taught me how to plot. So
amazing.
I use their methods now, and it's been really helpful. Yeah.
Well, it's been fascinating talking with you.
You
won't believe it, we're out of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That went quick.
Yeah. Everyone's been saying that. Yeah. So if any of our listeners want to find out more about your work, what's the best way for them to do that? Your website, presumably?
Yeah, I've got a website.
Which is?
It's marisanoelle.com.
So that's marisanoelle.com. So thank you so much for joining us today. Best of luck with all those future novels and the trilogies.
Thank you so much.
So that was Marisa Noelle, author of Young Adult Fiction.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.